Hi, welcome to Geeks Out God. I'm going to start that over because I didn't say my own podcast right. And all the...
Wow.
Boy, there's yep. There's the opening right there. Thank you.
Yeah, you're
thank
welcome.
You. You made
welcome.
My job so easy.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is Holly Spilger, also known as burlesque performer Holly Dazzle. We talk about burlesque performing and a bunch of anti-vaccine nonsense.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hi, I'm Tim Wick.
And Newly Glover.
I'm Newly Glover.
Newly Glover.
You probably know her as Molly Glover.
Yeah.
And,
what the hell?
It's an in-joke.
I figured it must be.
Makes for great radio. And yeah. So, and we're joined this week by our guest, Holly Spilker.
Hi, everybody.
Also known as Holly Dazzle.
Holly Dazzle.
One woman prayed.
Yeah. That's great. If that's not your tagline.
The Holly Dazzle I like.
Yeah, right.
There's more, 100% more nudity in my Holly Dazzle parade than well, there is.
They got rid of the parade,
traffic.
Right? They got rid of
they
the...
Did. They
yeah,
did.
So now it's just you.
I don't know if they got rid of the parade forever, because they're doing like a multi-year construction project on Nicollet Mall, so I don't know where they put the parade. So
right. I can tell you where they can put the parade.
Fuck that parade. Yeah.
For those of you that don't, never mind.
Yeah, we're good. It'll be a mystery.
I'm much less likely to be sued these days based on the fact that it isn't happening.
Nice.
So.
It's good for
you. Yeah. Copyright infringement.
Why would you be sued performing as Holly Dazzle? What is it you do?
I am a burlesque performer.
And so, for people that might not know, what is burlesque specifically, like from an informed...
As we know it now, it's the art of theatrical striptease. So it's some parts theater, some parts dance, some parts acting. And
the ones I've seen have always been funny.
Yep, there's
always some comedy.
A lot of comedy. That kind of comes with the satire that burlesque is that it's kind of poking fun, even... When it had its biggest time during the vaudeville time, they were mocking the elite. They were getting up there in their gowns and their pearls, and they were making fun of the rich and the elite while they were doing what they were doing. So even now, it's even ridiculous because you walk across the stage and you're in a gown and a boa and sparkle. And like, who dresses like that? Like, nobody dresses like that. Nobody looks like that. So even it's still satire. And the neo-burlesque that started in the 90s, is bringing in pop culture references, you know, keeping the comedy element going, bringing in lots of different disciplines of performance art to
we saw one
together.
On stilts. We saw a really cool burlesque act on stilts to one of my favorite songs, which was really cool. And
It's neat. I dig it. I think that... It's fun to watch. It's funny sometimes. It's not other times. Like it's,
I'm very serious.
But there seems like there's a big resurgence kind of in the past. I don't know, like 5 or 10 years in the Twin Cities.
The Twin Cities has an amazing burlesque scene that was started by some of our great local legend folks: Ophelia Flame, Gina Louise, Foxy Tan. Some really great like national names that are known. I can go to any scene anywhere in the country, and they're like. You take class from Ophelia Flame, you take class from Foxy Tan, like, these people...
That's awesome.
They're my peers and my, you know, my cohorts and my partners in crime and performing, and I get to book them in my shows and perform right alongside of them, and these are the top of the industry.
Wow.
And other, you know, they're former title holders, they're present-day title holders, we just
are
had
there competitions?
Sweet Becomic. There is, it just happened in Las Vegas, there is the Burlesque Hall of Fame, and there's a yearly pageant where the queen and king of burlesque are crowned every year, and our own Sweet Pea from the Twin Cities here, she took third place.
Wow.
In the world.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
So she gave herself the title of Duchess, and she's trying to, like, make that stick, because the third place person doesn't have a title. She's like, second place should be princess, and third place should be duchess, and of course, and there's queen. So then we all get a title, because y'all get a giant trophy.
Yeah.
So why not? Why not
also
get a title?
Like, why wouldn't you have something grandiose and exaggerated for burlesque?
Right. You should see the trophy. It's probably as tall as she is. It's ridiculous. Yes, it is amazing and gaudy. And she's a 2-time title winner. She took for a few years back for most dazzling dancer as well.
Wow.
Huh.
So she's amazing. She teaches locally. She's someone I consider a friend and a mentor and someone to look up to. And she's right here in Minnesota. We have amazing people here. I could talk about them all day.
So while you you live here in the Twin Cities and you perform here, when we were talking about having you on the podcast, you'd said that you're originally from Westboro Baptist Church country.
Yes, I grew up, the very beginning of my childhood I spent in Shawnee, Kansas, which is about 50 miles away from Topeka, which is where the Westboro Baptist Church has their headquarters.
Stronghold.
Yeah.
Evil lair.
Yeah.
Nasty little
Skull Island.
their lawyer generation facility.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Basically. Where they make the God Hates Fag signs.
Yeah.
Yay.
Mordor, but like the worst one.
Yeah. Yeah. Mordor without all the charm.
It's like the part of Bart of Mordor that Sauron just doesn't go to.
Yeah,
it's like, oh fuck, I'm not going there.
Ew, those guys are gross. Yeah. They take it too far.
My all-seeing eye is just not looking over there.
Yeah. It doesn't look over the tracks, like the wrong side of the Mordor tracks.
Jeez, Sauron, if you see something, say something. These guys need stopping.
Like blinders.
I grew up, you know, in the church, and my father was very, very, very religious. I was very sheltered.
Like, what flavor of horrible church?
It was kind of his own unique flavor. I mean, we were with various different faiths.
I'm guessing Protestant, not Catholicism.
Not Catholicism. My mom was raised in Catholicism, and she seemed to abandon that pretty quickly when she got with my father. More of a closest thing to it would be like an evangelical or Baptist type.
Sure.
Very fire and
fundamentalist.
Was it Pentecostal? Did you do any speaking in tongues?
No speaking in tongues.
That's
demonic. So you can't do that. That's too close to.
Interesting.
It was always
that freaks out at people speaking in tongues.
Like as a kid, what was sinful? Like what was
Rock music, pop music. I remember I actually experienced Footloose, like it happened to me. Like that song was like,
because you're a dancer and a performer.
When I was like 6 years old, and they were playing at my next door neighbor's friend's birthday party. And I was downstairs in the basement, just DMing along, 6-year-old me with Footloose on. And all of a sudden, I looked over, and at the top of the steps to the basement was my mom with her arms crossed.
Oh my God.
And I had to go upstairs and sit and wait for the sinful music part to be done of the birthday party before I went back.
Oh my God, Holly.
Like, everybody's like, did you ever see Footloose? I'm like, I'm aware that I lived Footloose. I know.
It's kind of ironic.
Footlooseception happened.
I feel like Kevin Bacon needs to know about this. Kenny Loggins, at least.
God damn it. Kenny Loggins should know.
I wonder if those reboot folks know that they were late to the game, right?
Oh man.
I mean, yes, later than a reboot
already. It was like pop, anything, you know, secular, you know. Of course, we didn't acknowledge anything sexual.
Were you allowed
to
read anything you wanted, or did you have limits on that?
There was some limits on that.
Did you get contemporary Christian rock? Did you get to listen to that?
No, I was a little too close to rock, like, for my dad's. Like, it was too, like...
That's your true Baptist kind of evangelicals right there,
like,
when it's like, that's still rock music, don't get dressed up.
Bluegrass. My dad was a bluegrass musician, which is so funny now that bluegrass is, like, a thing with the hipsters and things.
Yeah.
So I'm just like...
Yeah.
This is the music of my childhood.
moonshining, and I mean, wow. That's,
no, but you don't. But this is the thing. This is where the cognitive dissonance comes in. It's the music her dad made, and so therefore, because he was making it, it was okay.
Right.
And
same
so,
with a little bit of the classic, like the Buddy Holly and stuff. Because he played in a band called Ricochets.
That's a cute name.
High school, which oh my gosh, you should see. I'll have to show you a picture of their band.
Man.
Like they look like they played at the prom at Back to the Future.
Sure.
Like that.
Yeah.
Looked like Under the Sea.
That's awesome.
I think it might seem like cognitive dissonance for the, like, one type of music or another, but I mean, I can kind of get, like, no rock and roll, even Christian rock and roll, because sure. rock is bad and of the devil or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some consistency there I can yeah. almost, not admire, right. but, like, recognize. My mother's father is a Lutheran minister, and in their house you couldn't say gosh or darn or heck.
Because they were replacements for the bad
yeah,
words.
Yeah, right. Yep. You, it's just as bad mm-hmm. as swearing. The sentiment is still there. Right. You're just replacing it with another word. And, like, I get that. I just also like to say fuck and don't think there's anything
right.
wrong with that.
I used to have trouble saying frick and...
Yeah, right,
like
right.
Because they're like, we know what you mean. And I remember being scolded for calling my brother a faggot. Because I didn't know what it meant. But they wouldn't tell me what it meant. They're just like, you can't say it.
I'm
because
sorry.
Because I was just like, you know, because I had heard it used and I had no idea sure. what it meant. I'm oh like God. A little kid.
It's a thing you call people you don't like.
And
that's
why. It was bad for a totally different reason than they thought it was.
Yeah, right. yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't.
That's double irony right yeah. there.
Right.
But they probably weren't, like, super big fans of homosexuality.
I'm trying to remember, like, the moment that, like, I became aware of what a homosexual was. Like, I can't. Remember the? I feel like it should be an important moment in my life where I was like, "What?"
Like, that's a thing.
I will say, yeah, I distinctly remember it. It was when George Michael got caught in the public bathroom thing, and I remember being like, and my mom was like, "I was like, why is what are they saying about this in the bathroom?" Like, she's like, "Oh, he is caught with another man having sex in public," and I was like, "Oh, with a man?" She's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Oh, he's gay," and she was like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Huh." And then in my mind, I thought back on all the George Michael videos that I loved, and I was like, oh. Like, just part of me was like, oh, yeah. Like, I didn't
all the,
didn't
all the clues, all the clues
like,
were there.
The band was called Queen.
Yeah, right?
Like,
yeah.
Freddie Mercury. Like.
Yeah, right.
Like, every picture of Duran Duran.
Or Boy George, for God's sake. How did we not know? How did we think Boy George was straight?
We knew. We knew.
But that was the 80s when
yeah.
people
yeah,
because Boy George was like, I'm not gay, I'm not gay, I'm not gay. Then suddenly the 90s came along and he's like, I'm gay.
Yeah.
That was another I was like sheltered from all the 80s pop music.
Oh, sure.
So I don't have the nostalgia for 80s music that everybody else has, because like I've tried to like loop back and be like, oh, let me get into this, and I'm like, nope. It's not the same. It's like my friend recently tried to play the Spice Girls for her little daughter, and her daughter was like, maybe you should listen to this on your own time, Mom. Because it's like, it doesn't have the nostalgia. It's not as good. Like,
yeah.
that's part
yeah.
of it.
Oh,
is
that's
like
really
the
great.
The music of your youth.
Oh, yeah.
It's what is it, your music taste?
The music you live, the music you're listening to when you start fucking is the music you'll love for the rest of your life. That's,
right.
That's what it is. And if you think about it, think about what music you were listening to when you first started having sex. That's probably the music that when you hear it now, you're like, yeah, turn this shit up. I love
soundtrack
this song.
Soundtrack to Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
That's awkward.
You too? Oh, man. Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Are you...
just great minds think alike.
It was a good soundtrack.
It was a good soundtrack.
Yeah. So when did you move north?
We moved all over the place. My father was an engineer, and he would get sent to various jobs and things. Yeah. And so I was born in Iowa, in Cedar Rapids, and shortly after that, they moved to Shawnee in Kansas. And then we moved, when I was six, we moved to California.
Oh, wow.
Which was even a bigger challenge for them to keep me
I
nice
bet.
And sheltered. And
yeah.
I went to private school, because...
Christian school, or
yes, it was yeah. horrifying.
Because you also have private hippie schools in California.
Yeah,
so,
it was
yeah.
horrifying.
There's
to
all
think
sorts
that
of private schools in California.
The
public
school,
school yeah, the
in
California,
California they'd eat me alive. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
they probably would have, because I would have probably smelled like vulnerability. Like, she's an easy mark.
What part of California was it?
It was Sunland. It was in the valley, closest to Burbank. It's a suburb
sure.
of L.A. It's
yep.
in the La Crescenta Valley.
Okay.
Nice little mountain. Right at the foot of the mountains. You could see the mountains with the snow in the horizon
yeah.
of the backyard. It was beautiful and nice little community, you know, like most of California. Lots of, you know, diversity of ethnicities
mm-hmm.
and different people.
Was that ever an issue that came up with religiously conservative parents? Did they care about race at all?
Not as much. It was more about faith. And my dad, he did have an outgoingness and a friendliness, and it was always motivated by wanting to spread
the word
of God.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it did cause him to be rather charitable, rather kind, rather, you know, he would go out and... He
good Christian, like,
felt himself
real.
A little, a Jesus figure would go out and minister to the homeless and to... Well, sometimes bringing them back home. I'm like, I can't believe you were never rolled up in a carpet and thrown off a bridge.
It's amazing that they were worried about what pop music would do to you, but not a homeless person.
Right, just like, bring them just home to our house, whatever.
I mean, but like, you know, the walk in the walk is...
That's true Christianity right there. Yeah,
you can't say that about a lot of folks.
And I was very much raised in that, and I ministered to friends and to the lady at the gas station and to anybody who would listen. I was always spouting off. I could like recite Bible verses. Like they could say like, what's this, you know? And I would know it. I was in the, it's the Christian version of the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts, the Sparks, the Awana Sparks.
I didn't either.
Yeah. It's a, like a Campfire Girls or Boy Scouts thing. And it's, so they'd have the Cubbies, and that was like the Brownies, like the little
wow,
ones,
yeah.
Or the Cub Scouts, you know.
And then just call them the Indoctrinated.
And then, the Zombies!
Yeah.
And then they had the Sparks, which were like the younger, middle schooler,
yeah.
Tween. And then they had the Awana, which was more like the, a little bit of older kids.
Was it co-ed?
Yes, it was co-ed. And it was all about doing lessons, and it was all the same stuff that the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts would do, you know,
like
activities,
heavy
but like
Christian.
Heavy Christian influence.
Wow.
Like you would pass your tests and things to get up the ranks.
You'd do macaroni art, but it would be making crosses.
It was, yeah, it was definitely, yeah, everything's just smash religion into it all,
earn your crucifixion patch.
Yeah.
You build a campfire and, like, an actual working crucifix.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you have to turn water into wine to graduate onto the next level.
You know, there's no swimming badge because you're expected to walk on water.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The swimming badge is a test, actually.
Yeah.
If you get it, you're out.
If you swim, you're a witch. And then... So it sounds like you were, I mean, as a kid, with the memorization and all that, did you believe?
I did. I mean, it was pretty well ingrained into me. I always
didn't see another option.
Yeah, I mean, I would sometimes, like, I'd have that doubt, like, what if it's not? But then I would feel terribly guilty for that thought because I'm like, oh my God, God can hear everything I'm saying. He can hear me doubting him, and he's not going to believe I really believe in him, and I'm not going to be in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm going to go to hell. And, you know, like, just all those little things for, like, a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
Terrifying. Scary.
I've talked to my other, you know, friends that have escaped the Fundy life, and they talked about, like, when the wine was coming down the row to them at communion, and they would, like, be, like, praying really hard for God to forgive them for drinking wine, like... Because their mom would be like, you better pray really hard before it gets here.
To forgive you for drinking the wine you're supposed to drink to honor God?
Right.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
It's
so
fucked up.
Like, double damned.
That's like
there's no way out.
There's so much self-hatred and
guilt.
It's like everything you do is wrong.
Yeah.
You have to do this because of God. But God is judging you for doing it.
I went to a Fundy preschool, like Sunday school preschool, when I was like 3, and I was just like miserable, crying one time because my mom couldn't figure out, because I was a happy kid, couldn't figure out what was wrong, and I was like, I'm going to hell because I was born a sinner and there's nothing I can do. And my mom was like, what? And started asking what they had taught us that day, and it was they had taught us about Easter and how that we were all sinners, all like telling a group of 3 and 4 year olds like, you're all dirty sinners whose hearts are black.
You're
sin.
The reason Jesus died.
You're the reason Jesus died. I was like, I'm the reason Jesus died.
It's your fault.
And you all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
I'm a sinner. Like, little girl, like, little pigtails, like, just
it's
ridiculous.
Really, and even
you imagine
this...
Jesus up on the cross looking down at you and going, this is your fault.
Yeah, right.
Like, at one time, you didn't pray hard enough before
drinking
the
wine. Yeah, it's messed up.
When did that change?
It's been just like a bouncing back and forth between being very casual believer, being really into it. And every time I've been really into it, I've noticed it was a bid to get my father's approval or affection.
Mm-hmm.
I went into a program called First Light when I was in high school, which was kind of a youth program. And
oh, okay.
We went on a trip down to Texas and we performed. We like had this show we put on, so it appealed to the entertainer in me because we had this whole play, this whole program. We would go down to these churches and set up, and I was like on the tech crew, so I got to help set up the microphones.
Nice.
And like hold the gaff tape and, you know, yeah, do all that yeah. stuff, and it was so exciting. And then perform, and
it's the theater without the danger of sinning.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was great, yeah. And sing, and I've always loved choir and singing mm-hmm. and everything too. So it was really fun, and we like did hand motions and little dancing with the songs.
Not too much dancing. And careful there. Careful there.
Whoa. Too much hips in that one.
We're dancing to sinner music. It's fine. Yeah.
Right. We were dancing to Jesus music. It's okay. It's fine. But so every time I realized that I've really become seriously dedicated in faith, it was usually a bid for my father's approval or my father's affection, and inevitably I wouldn't get it, you know, because he had his problems and his demons. He was an addict, he was struggling, he was very flawed and very complicated, so trying to get his approval was probably not going to happen.
Yeah,
you know, like he was just kind of
I feel that's that
kind of clueless about
that's the thing people learn with, you know, being a healthy adult is, like, learning how much you need to rely on others for that sort of valuation, and how much you don't need to, and when mm-hmm. it's healthy and when it's not.
Or how
not,
much you
and,
can't, even, to yeah, some degree.
Right.
It's not even don't need to, but that's, you can't.
It's right. so hard for kids. It's not fair for kids. No. I feel like half of becoming an adult is, like, unlearning some of that stuff, not just even the religious indoctrination parts, but
your dad had, you know, addiction struggles when you were when you were younger, and it's really hard to have that as a parent and to be taking care of a parent as a kid in that way, because mm-hmm. they can't
your
take care of themselves.
Yeah, I had to be my mom's clown.
Yeah,
and cheer her up, and always worry,
or her rock, one of the two.
Her like shoulder to cry on, and
yeah,
be strong for her and for my siblings and for, you know, for everybody. Just pull everybody along. And
are you eldest?
Be responsible. I am oldest and middle child at the same time. My dad was previously married, so he had three older children, and then I was born fourth for him. And
did they live with you guys?
One of them did.
Okay. Hmm.
So I'm closest to my brother John, because he was like 12 or 13 when I was born.
Sure.
He was still living with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then my younger siblings were born after me. So, like, to my mom, I'm the oldest, but to my dad, I was, like, the middle child
who
was, like, the forgotten. I felt like the Jan Brady. I was between these two beautiful blonde sisters.
They
were just, like, I always heard about how beautiful Lori was and how gorgeous Lori was and how amazing Lori was and how Lori married this successful guy, Kevin, and now Lori, you know, like, mm-hmm. I'm like, it's great. I mean, I never knew her very well. She's
got to be a lot older than you.
She is, and she lives in Iowa, and she's perfectly nice. I mean, I finally had my first picture at my dad's service 2 years ago of my three sisters together. I took a selfie of us together. I had these two blondes on either side of me. And, you know, so I had Lori on that side, and then I had Molly, and she was the youngest, and she was cute, and she was the baby. And
are you Holly and Molly?
Yes, we are Holly and Molly.
Oh, man. As a Molly, I feel you. I have been mistaken.
Is your brother Polly?
No, thank God.
I've been mistaken as a Holly all the time. Like, I get called Holly a lot.
I get called a Polly all the time. Like, I don't know if it's just that's what the old ladies on the phone at the clinic I work at here. Yeah.
Maybe it's just an assumption because of burlesque. Like, they assume you're Polly.
The old ladies.
Right.
They automatically know. When you answer the phone, they're like, oh, you're that nice girl that takes off her clothes.
I have a feeling a few of them would think it was pretty awesome. But
yeah.
Well, they might.
You never know which one it's going to be, though. We scandalized some old ladies at a show I was in last week. That was pretty fun.
I told my grandmother that I did it because I did a mimed striptease where I was already wearing pasties and panties, and then I mimed taking clothes off in mime face. And I was telling my grandma about it. My mom was showing her the video, and I'm like, I mimed a striptease. She's like, what did you do? I'm like, I did a striptease. She's like, no, Molly, no, you didn't. And I'm like, well, I mean, technically, no, I didn't, because I was already naked. But and she was like, oh, well, that's good. And my mom's like, we're like, just watch, just show her the tape. Just show her the tape. Just show it to her.
That concept is awesome.
I didn't come up with it. We saw it at the Animaniacs Burlesque. We saw they did the mime time.
Oh,
was a woman in mime face with a beret, and she mimed stripping for somebody.
Like
so,
a date.
Like a date. Yeah. So I was like, I gotta try that. So I mimed taking clothes off for an imaginary dude, and then of course, you know, my bra gets stuck and my shirt gets stuck and I can't get my pants off.
Great.
And yeah, it was really fun.
I dig it.
For really opening for Rocky
Open for
Horror.
Rocky Horror, yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. They're a fun crowd if you ever get the chance. That's my coworker who is a burlesque performer. He is opening for them this Pride weekend.
The name of that performer.
Milo.
Yes.
Who's
he's
new...
with Dragged Out.
Yes. Yep.
Which I know. Like immediately when
they all
saw
do boylesque. That's all boylesque, right?
Dragged Out is mostly boylesque.
That's
they have
awesome.
A few queens that'll be like guests, or I believe there may be one or two that are
some
on cast.
Gender fluidity.
In the
characters.
And, then
too.
They bring into their shows burlesque, like Xavier, the one that. Is kind of the head figurehead of Dragged Out, Nadia Morena.
Oh yeah,
is her, you know, wife now. They got married.
Oh,
now
that's great.
Wife, that's
awesome. Cool.
And and she's a burlesque artist.
Very
so
cool.
They do some duet stuff that is.
Yeah.
As Naughty X, as they're so.
It's amazing. I was in the box office. And I was next to Milo, and I looked over at his computer screen, and he had Facebook up, and I saw. A little meme in a conversation that was like, how to come at me, don't.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that Holly? And he's like, do you know her? I'm like, I just recognize the meme from recent use.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, small world. Like,
I find myself going to that meme quite often lately.
It's handy.
It's
good to have a toolbox.
Why, Holly, do you get into a lot of internet arguments?
Oh, transition.
Yeah, that's our segue. So, one of the things Facebook does sometimes is like when you have a friend that is commenting on something that Facebook thinks you might be interested in seeing, it lets you know that someone put a comment on that thing. Like, hey,
Holly,
you know,
Robin Spilker commented on this.
Or Jeremy Stomberg commented on this angry Pioneer press post or whatever. And so Molly and I have both seen and been super entertained by some anti-vax stuff that you've been commenting on and talking about.
Yes, I am very passionate about my stance on vaccines. I work in the healthcare industry. I'm a medical receptionist and operator, and so I work in the healthcare field. So I am around sick people all the time. So I feel like there's a responsibility for myself to stay well and stay vaccinated and stay part of the herd.
Yeah.
To protect people because I see up close and personal. What it does, I've lived up close and personal. My father was old enough to have gotten polio when he was 4 years old.
Ugh.
And I can't even imagine that. When my son was four, I just looked at him and I just realized, this is the age that my
boy
has his last memory of running.
Ugh.
Has his last memory. He has a memory where he got a fever and then he never ran again.
Was he on crutches pretty much forever?
He was a patient of Sister Kinney. So
really?
He was one of the people that helped establish physical therapy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He remembers her as being funny.
Huh.
Which
that is
I thought
so
was
cool.
Great. She's like, she always made me laugh. And then he said there were always reporters taking pictures around when she was working with him. And I've looked so hard to try to find any pictures I can. And the pictures I find, he recognizes some of the children and the people that he was around during the time, which is cool. He's like, I remember her. I remember him.
That's so cool.
This was close to when I was there because I remember them. And so I saw firsthand. He walked with a cane.
Mm-hmm.
Any mobility that he had, he
it's
never
amazing.
Had to
he
have.
Was only able, he only had to have a cane. I mean,
he didn't have to have the braces and things because a lot of the therapy was for the infantile paralysis that they called it, was to just let them be paralyzed and stiff and just reinforce them with crutches and just let them
and
be
never,
stiff
not move
and atrophy.
The body,
Whereas Sister Kinney was like, let's warm them up, let's stretch them, let's put paraffin wax on their muscles, and warm them.
All the things we kind of still do today.
Yeah,
I mean,
all the physical therapy stuff, Sister Kinney, it's still around. It's teamed up now with Courage Center. It's Courage Kinney. They're still doing great things.
That's amazing.
And working on people, and they love whenever I come near any of them because they want to hear all about Sister Kinney. They want to hear about her, and I'm like, well, first of all, you should know that she's not a nun. Second, you should know the sister part. That was the name that the nurses had on the Navy vessels. And she
was That makes sense.
That's where Sister came from. So she was not a nun.
I didn't know that at all.
So yeah, like, I would have assumed something like CSJ, because like the Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet were all very medical, like they're the St. Kate's nuns.
Oh, sure,
so they're all super medical minded and very like pro care and stuff. Mm. So
So there is a anti-vaccine movie.
Vaccinated.
Vaxxed.
Vaxxed.
I'm sorry. It's Dr. Andrew Wakefield.
I know. It's
not,
fucking,
not Dr. Andrew.
Yes, I'm sorry. Pardon me. Mr. Andrew
it's
Wakefield.
It's fucking Andrew Wakefield. He made a fucking movie about research that has been debunked.
Right.
Not even debunked, that he outright has admitted he falsified to get money from anti-vax companies.
And now is furthering that career and doubling down on it and making money off this infamy or the being an anti-vax celebrity, an anti-science celebrity.
Yeah.
It broke my heart because I went on to, because the Uptown Theater played it.
Not a choice of the Uptown staff. It was Landmark Cinema's decision.
Right. And I went on there and I gave them fucking peace of my mind.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the swarm gathered. And I started arguing with these people, and I realized that it was getting nowhere. I ended up deleting my posts and walked away from the whole thing because these were people with children who have disabilities and medical needs and medical things, and this is their scapegoat. This is their answer. Their children are vaccine injured. Their children...
It can't just happen. There has to be a reason.
The timing of it or whatever, or just that it's unknown, that's what they're going to blame. These people are hurting, and they're being taken advantage of.
Oh, yeah.
And me telling them they're stupid fuck wasn't helping anything. It was furthering. It was making them double down on their misinformation. And it was painful for me to see.
Yes.
Because they're hurting more children.
And they're
going to
go see that movie.
You know,
I want to say, by the way, I have no problem with Landmark showing that film.
Interesting.
Any more than I have an issue with somebody showing Michael Moore's documentaries, because his documentaries, while I may agree with his premise, are also biased.
His editorials. But
his editorials. I think
that's the thing. Vaxxed is a biased film. And if you accept, pretty much every documentary is biased in some way, shape, or form. So unless you're going to say, I'm only going to allow documentaries that are unbiased, then you got to say they can show shit that I don't agree with.
I think it's not a matter of not agreeing with it. I think there's a public health issue.
That's where I fall into it.
I think
if there was a movie about how you don't need to wear condoms because AIDS can't be spread that way.
Yeah.
We wouldn't. They would be rioting in the streets.
If there's a movie talking about the dangers of seatbelts and why seatbelts are a sham and the seatbelt manufacturers are in it and they're out to get your money and decapitate your children and crush them and
sure that movie doesn't exist.
Sure it does.
But I'd be upset if that movie played too.
Right. And it's the trouble with things like that that are such a high stakes thing with vaccines and the health and, you know, people's lives at stake, and giving that a platform, even if you don't agree with it and give it that platform, it legitimizes it. Like the New York Film Festival showed Vaxxed. It legitimized it. People were like, if they're showing it, there must be some shred of truth to it. Let me look at this. Like, they give it serious thought. And that's what's scary. Like, I understand where you're coming from with it. Like, I understand.
Obviously, because you do burlesque, and there's people who don't think that should happen. And,
right, exactly.
I mean, it's like, we do Vilten, people don't think that should happen.
Right. Yeah, I'm no stranger to controversy, but I completely understand it.
I think, you know, we talked about it before we started recording. My kids are autistic.
Mm-hmm.
My kids are vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe the two are related, and I honestly wouldn't give a flying fuck if they were.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather my kids didn't get polio.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Or kill a baby.
Or measles. Or anything. Yeah. Like rubella. I mean, there's things that are not like deadly that still are not good to spread.
Diphtheria, I think they used to call like the silent angel because it would come and like steal your children's breath. Like,
Or
you just kill your babies. Like, when you had to have like 10 children to hope that 3 of them made it to adulthood. We were just talking about this today at work. We were talking about the flu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just what, like when you actually have influenza and you realize like, oh shit, like
I was so sick.
Like,
I was
you've never been so sick in your life.
You get taken out of commission for a week or two.
Like, and you really realize like how risky the flu is. It's not just a cold. It's not just a bug. It's
a friend of ours was saying about flu epidemics and the bird flu when that came through. Yeah. How if the bird flu had happened 40 years earlier, tens of millions of people would have died.
Right. Without respirators, without all the modern medicine.
Even just
the spread of it with hyggene and
hygiene, hand washing, sanitation, vaccines, just to curb it as much as they can, even though, you know, flu mutates so readily that it can get around some vaccines. They still help stem that tide.
Right. And even when you take the flu vaccine, it gives you... It helps if you get the flu, the severity of the flu that you get is less...
Yeah.
And Tim, I want to agree with you because I think that I do think that it should get shown. I mean, I think it has a right to be shown in the sense that it's a movie that was made, but I wish that there was a way that they could, that like the CDC could force a disclaimer on it or something that goes up beforehand because it is, and I think it's different
than this movie's bullshit. Yeah. I mean, that would be great.
And I think it's different because it's like if people, like a fiction movie that's violent or sexual or dark or whatever, we know it's fiction, whatever, you know, that's fine. A Michael Moore thing is politics. It's, you know, maybe it's about a whole city, but it's not something that could if you believe him, could kill you.
A contact warning is what you're saying.
Yeah,
of some
but
sort.
even your seatbelts thing. If other people decide not to wear their seatbelts because they saw some dumb movie, like that doesn't mean I'm gonna die.
Whereas
if people aren't getting vaccinated because they don't believe it because they saw some dumb movie that made them convinced they don't need to get vaccinated and then they get measles, like I could get measles because I'm not necessarily going to be up to date on my fucking MMR because I'm almost 40 years old and they don't think of that when I go to the doctor. They're not like, when was the last time you had your MMR shot? Like
people with compromised immune systems who can't get vaccinated or
people who have hit the reset button with the bone marrow transplant.
I wish there was some way that they could be like, fine, we'll show your shitty fucking documentary, heavy air quotes, but like, because the things in here have been factually disproved by, you know, your own goddamn admission and then, you know, the entire medical community, that I feel like there should be at least something that says
I agree. I mean, I wish there were brochures that they had out now when you walked into the movie that's like, by the way, this movie's bullshit.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's a brochure that takes every single point in the movie and tells you why it's wrong.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And undoubtedly there will be YouTube videos. There probably already are YouTube videos going through the movie's points by point, going, this is wrong, this is wrong. And it bothers me that this is a debate.
Oh, yeah.
It bothers me as a liberal that this is liberals. This isn't conservatives. This comes from the liberal perspective.
There is a bit of a conservative streak through it in places.
There's some libertarians.
Libertarians.
You can't force me to do something to my body.
The government shouldn't force me to do anything. Or
but still,
the distrust of the government. Yeah. Like, they're putting mind control on that.
Because, you know, as a liberal, I don't want to believe that there's anybody stupid on my side of the...
I'm with
you. On my side of the political spectrum. But there is, and there are. And you know, I go, I don't want this movie to exist, but I also feel like Landmark made a decision to show that. And you know why they made the decision to show the film?
Money.
Because they thought they could sell tickets, and they could.
And they did. It was sold out every night. The Q&As that were extra money, VIP style, all sold out.
Yeah.
Sold out. I got offered, they offered me tickets when I objected to it.
Really?
Like, we pre-bought some to give to people who are skeptics and have them come.
Christian movies
and
do
like,
that
well,
too. Left Behind and stuff like that does that too.
I don't want to be arrested when I go for Wakefield's fucking eyeballs with my fingernails, because I didn't go down there because I knew I couldn't control myself.
No, and that's,
Because if I saw him, there would be no force on the planet that could stop me.
Yeah.
I troll that Q&A so hard. Like, excuse me, sir, how do you reconcile the fact that you're a fucking douchebag? Like,
I would really like to watch the skinny Landmark ushers who would be forced to somehow remove Nick from the building and be like, sir,
I'm
pardon
sure
me,
Wakefield
sir.
Has security. I'm sure he has gotta have security because
He'd better have security because there's Hollies in the world.
Fucking coming for you.
One of my ex-roommates is a guy who has worked at the Uptown and Lagoon for quite a while. And
15 years.
No one that worked there was happy about it from what he was
saying.
They
all tried to protest. Yeah. They all wrote a letter.
They didn't put it on the marquee, I noticed.
They
didn't. Because my theater, the Phoenix Theater, is just down the road. Yep. And while I gave the Uptown a good double bird salute when I drove by both
times. Our friend and his coworkers were like, well, then it's not going on the marquee. Yeah. They can't. We get to do the marquee. We're going to put up the movie that's the night before. Or the cult classic that's showing at midnight whatever
there was something else.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. People went to see it anyway.
Yeah,
sure, but they didn't.
It's a small rebellion.
It's you know, one little bit to not lend that legitimacy.
We gotta find ourselves a way to watch that movie.
We'll find a way to watch it without financially supporting it. Yeah.
We still have to watch the Kirk Cameron Saves Christmas shit.
Yeah,
we got a lot of movies that we have to unfortunately watch.
Stop making bad movies. Bad religious, bad science music.
God's Not Dead 2. Anyway.
So, on that note, let's move on to our five questions.
Five questions!
Do you feel ready?
I'm ready.
Is your body ready? Ready your body, Holly.
Question number one. What is a movie you will stop and watch anytime it's on?
The Fifth Element.
Hell
yeah.
Yes, I just...
Multipass.
I love that movie.
It's very quotable. It's beautiful.
Gives me the pants feeling.
Right?
So...
Sploosh.
Yeah. The costuming gives me the pants feelings.
Galtier.
The opera scene, god damn it.
Yes, the diva. And Bruce Willis, I feel like, was peak sexy in that movie.
Yeah.
Sure,
peak... Like, I don't like him before, and I don't like him after. Right there is perfect.
With the bleach and the...
Yes! Peak Bruce. Huh. When Bruce comes to my dreamland as a guest.
Willis. Moonlighting.
That's right, peak Chris Tucker for me. That's peak Chris Tucker. That's the height of his career.
You're like, who is this guy?
It was like... And it was all, like, downhill movies with Jackie Chan.
I liked Bruce Willis in Red, though.
Red is good. That part was written for Prince? Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
The outfits
And Prince would have been terrible. It wouldn't have been good.
No,
he wouldn't have been.
Prince couldn't act for shit.
Because it's too quiet and he talks like this.
Yeah, like, he's an amazing performer, but it was what happened in the end was great.
He performed, that's great.
But the archetype.
Ruby Rod.
Yeah.
So
question number two. What is your geekiest or most prized possession?
This one was like the hardest of all the questions for me because nothing like came to mind right away. We're like, well, of course my...
Because
like everything I do and own is geeky in some way. Like everything I do
that.
It was so hard. I'm like, well, you know, you got a TARDIS. So there's that.
Like a real one? Like a working one?
I wish. I have it on a coat rack. Like, I got a cheap coat rack off Amazon, and I made, like, a topper for it and curtains that hang. And it's when I start my Doctor Who number from behind that.
That's awesome.
So that's how I start my Doctor. So I like that, and I like that it generates conversations in my house where I text my husband, like, where are the legs to the TARDIS? Like, I can't find it, and I'm going to a show, and he's at work, and... I can't find the top! Like, where was it? I saw it somewhere.
That's adorable.
Yeah, so that, I was trying to think of what else. I've done cosplaying in the past and stuff, and then all my geeky acts that I do now and such. So, you know, when you've got Wonder Woman costumes.
Maybe it's just your entire collection of awesome geeky stuff.
Just your costume wardrobe.
The geekiness, and, you know. There's like my geeky kid and my geeky husband. There's, you know, it's just like it's everywhere in my life. It's so saturated.
So your geekiest and most prized possession is your awesome life.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. That works.
I think that wins that answer.
Yeah.
It really does.
That's fantastic. Question number three is what supernatural, magical, or otherwise all-powerful being do you wish was real?
The ancient astronauts. Ancient astronaut theory is what I've adopted as a faith.
Yeah.
Because it's just as ridiculous as anything else. So I'm like, why the fuck not? It's certainly more plausible.
What do they call it? Exosperma something?
Genesis. Exospermogenesis. Yeah.
I just, you know, I'm like, it's with the ancient astronauts.
Say,
why not?
I'm going to say it's technically more plausible.
Right. I'm like, invisible man in the sky, actual man in the sky.
It's like, I'm holding up two two note cards. One on top of the other. The one on top is technically more plausible than the one on the
other. Hey, we can look at pyramids. Show me what God made.
It's a big, huge universe.
Look, I've got a Bible.
There could totally be intelligent life out there. That's plausible.
That is plausible. Yeah, yeah. It is plausible.
Not really plausible.
Yeah, that's super where funny. I land on that.
I love it.
I have my ancient astronaut theory.
You are, yes.
Shirt
yeah.
on
yes.
tonight.
It's got, Egyptians. It's got Stonehenge pyramids. Levitating pyramids
yeah.
with
I want them.
It's got
to
Horus in a like Sputnik era like fucking
capsule.
Like Jules Verne's story.
Oh, yeah, like yeah.
Looks like it's about to get slingshotted out of a big rubber band up to the moon.
Shot into the eye of the moon.
UFOs to come down and like open and then like all the Egyptian gods just walk off.
Godspeed.
I'd just be like, fuck I knew it, I told you.
You know, it's got the Easter Island heads. You know what I just learned this week, and it's because I don't honestly give a fuck about the Easter Island heads, I guess, but that they're like not just heads. They have a full body below
them. Yeah,
below
the
surface.
They scanned some stuff and found that.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's like, holy shit.
I'd love that.
They've dug a couple out, so when people go and tour the island, they can see.
Yeah. It's so cool.
You know what I love about ancient alien astronauts being true? It's like you're saying the Egyptians coming out or something.
Right.
It would be like, if they come and they arrive and they'd be like, yeah, you came from us. And it's just like, they're black. Like, like,
what are you talking about? They've got like crocodile heads.
Like,
just
people with
totally.
Heads.
Yep, yep. Like completely natural hair.
I feel like
Titans
have already come back, and they came back during slavery, and they were like, oh, just fucking kidding.
Yeah.
Disowned.
Were you watching the humans? Were you watching them? I forgot to watch the humans.
We were in space, bro. Like,
they looked down. They're like, oh,
I was doing space stuff.
They're eating the animals, and they're. Oh my god, I gotta go.
It's just the
what about the cats? Do they love cats? They love cats. All right.
The mass exodus of like white supremacists as they lemming herd themselves out into the water, like that would happen. And just be like, nope, fuck this. And be like, bye.
Bye.
Well, we ought to feel good. Ancient alien theory brought us Stargate. So, you know.
That's true. And Stargate was pretty good for a while.
Question number four. Say religion is gone. This is a hypothetical. Say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem that humanity now faces? Let's bring it down.
Oh, yeah.
Bring it down.
This one's hard because there's different ways you can approach this question. You can approach it as like religion existed and then it's all of a sudden gone.
Right.
What happens in the vacuum?
Yep.
Yeah.
Which I think is an interesting thing to think about. But like suddenly, you know, like the aliens come down and land and they're like
dude, you guys are so wrong.
God, we're aliens.
You're so wrong about this.
You're wrong about everything. Like, what the fuck? Like,
there's nothing
like,
supernatural. There's just us and you.
We have proof.
Chaos,
here it is.
Suicide. Just like all the people that would just be like.
So the power vacuum is really the.
Yeah. That's just a terrifying kind of thought. Like, as much as we're like, wouldn't it be great if there was no religion?
Like a reverse rapture, really. Like, because the idea of the rapture being everyone really just gets to feel smug and go up, and then we're all left here with our sins. Like, it'd be the reverse of that.
Wouldn't
like
a reverse rapture be a bunch of naked people suddenly appearing?
Just falling from the sky.
Naked person rain.
That's streaking is. It's
now
reverse
I get,
rapture.
Now I get the Salvation Army and why they need all the clothes.
Oh.
They're preparing for the reverse rapture. Question five. What is your favorite quote?
I like, and from what I could research, Winston Churchill did say it. And it's the, if you're going through hell, keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's all about just...
Yeah.
You're going
surviving
through hell.
As long as, it's this kind of in the same vein from my favorite band, Garbage. The trick is to keep breathing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That song, like, it came on, like,
album?
During the two, like, days where my dad was in the hospital dying. And it came on my Pandora. And I was just like...
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It's...
Holy shit, like...
My mom has the "If you're going through hell, keep going" magnet on her fridge that she put it up there after her dad was dying, and she had to be at his deathbed, which lasted about a week and a half, and it was that same kind of thing, like just what can you do?
Yeah,
nothing to do it but to do it and just live through it. Yep. It's
just so many times in life, good and bad.
Yeah,
and that kind of thing applies to just kind of survive
the inexorable forward march of time cannot be stopped by your grief. So,
right.
Much in the way that the lighthouse of Alexandria is the ancient predecessor to the small blue bird nightlight in the They Might Be Giants song, that Winston Churchill quote is the ancient predecessor to the Hang In There Kitten poster.
Yeah, totally.
Like, hang in there,
thanks,
baby.
Thanks, Winston, you drunk asshole.
I think it's a great quote.
For God's sake, he got us through World War II.
he got the English through World War II. Yeah. Technically, we got the English through World War II.
Well, he had the great quote where he told the woman he drank the poison tea.
Lady Astor.
She said that, if you were my husband, I'd poison your tea. And she said, if I was your husband, I'd drink it.
He said a lot of great
things. Oh, my God.
And by the way, English listeners, I don't actually believe the United States got you through World War II.
Yeah.
I believe you had a little something to do with it.
Yeah.
In America, got you through is a euphemism for bombed the shit out of the enemy.
Not that we would apologize for it. Yeah, that's not
thoughts
okay.
And prayers, I'm pretty sure.
We're
good at thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. We can think and pray the shit out of
it. Thoughts and prayers are the two new smart bombs coming out from Lockheed Martin.
Oh my God, that's perfect.
The United States is sending its thoughts and prayers.
So,
boom.
Before we go, you have some shows coming up.
I do.
Where you're going to be Holly dazzling it up. You're going to be Holly dazzling.
Yes, on people. July 8th and 9th.
Just a few days from now.
Mounds Theater in St. Paul. They're having Owl Stravaganza. It is a Weird Owl-themed burlesque show.
Two nights,
two individual shows. There's going to be trivia contests. There's going to be a wedding. Going to be all sorts of craziness, prizes, merchandise.
Weird Al themed burlesque.
Weird Al themed burlesque.
So like Weird Al songs.
All the numbers are to Weird Al songs, and they're all, on point with whatever the song is.
Oh my gosh.
There's going to be, it's mostly burlesque. There's going to be a few kind of the allied arts. My best friend is a belly dancer. Her name is Angela. She's going to be doing a belly dance number.
There's usually like belly dance and aerials and stuff.
A little variety mixed in there. So I'll be bringing The War on Christmas to stage, and just wait and see.
That's right. Let's start the War on Christmas.
I'm an atheist, so I love the War on Christmas. I have the War of Christmas aggression.
It's very conflicting for me to be a burlesque performer who specializes in Christmas numbers.
I bet.
I'm just slowly losing my faith more.
You're on the secular side. You're secular Christmas.
Right?
You're Holly Devil.
Good Christmas.
You're not fucking Silent Night or something.
I was not born in a manger.
Silent Night, the Christian mime burlesque dancer.
Molly and I have our tickets for Friday night VIP. We can't wait to see it.
We have kind of a warm-up to that weekend happening at Thursday night before that at the She Brewing Tap House. They're having kind of a comedy-themed burlesque night.
Fun.
We have some performances. They won't be the Weird Al performances, but just comedy.
Yeah.
Kind of a warm-up for the weekend. Get your drink on and get to have the first taste of the new brew.
Oh, cool.
I think it's like Last Mango in St. Paul, I think is the name of it. And it's a special brew that She Brewing is putting out for the Al Stravaganza.
That's S-I-D-H-E. It's
They're pagans, so
Just making sure.
The fair folks.
We're an audio show, so I want to make sure for the listeners.
Yeah, they're all like, they're looking it up. They're like, She Brewing. I assume that's S-H-E.
Yeah.
Where the fuck is it?
It's like
Let's fucking geek without God, asshole. That'd be wrong again.
If people want to find out.
For you folks in England, it doesn't matter. You're in England.
Yeah, yeah.
Not gonna.
If people want to find you online or find out when you're going to be performing, Holly Dazzle's on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I think those are the
things. Hollie Dazzle.
Yes, all one word.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Otherwise, thanks for being here. Coming on the podcast.
Thanks, Holly.
If any of you out there want to talk about anything from burlesque to holiday-themed burlesque or anti-vax.
From tits to toddlers.
From tits to toddlers.
There we go. We got the name of the episode. I'm writing that shit down right now. From tits
nice
to toddlers.
You can comment.
My name on that.
You can comment on our...
Even have it underlined.
You can comment on our posts on geekswithoutgod.com or on Facebook, where you can find us there as Geeks Without God. Follow us on Twitter, and don't forget to check out our Patreon. We've got some great goals set. We've had some really great support and feedback there, and we're really close to hitting some goals to make some additional content for you guys, and eventually work our way up to some great recording equipment, which would, you know, increase our ability to do remote podcasting with better... I don't want to say better guests. That's not right.
No, more guests. More famous guests who are not from here.
Well, there's more people in the world that can make it to Tim's basement.
Wider variety of guests.
It's like when we do...
Not that there's anything wrong with you making it to my basement, Holly. That's fine.
It's getting out of the basement is usually the problem. Yeah. Otherwise, please check us out at Patreon. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Thanks for having me.
I didn't vaccinate my kids because I'm secretly a huge virus that preys on humanity.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
The sand lizard and the chameleon.
Who's this?
These are unclean to you.